Y'all are rocking this morning. Tell you what, I like it. We can't hear a lot backstage, but when you guys are excited, we can hear that. And so I know that you guys are bringing the energy this morning. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Brandon. I'm our associate pastor here at Swiss Cove Christian Church. And we're entering in a four-week... Thank you, John. I love your excitement, always. We're starting a four-week series called Core Claims. We're going to be going through four core claims of Christianity. There are more than four core claims of Christianity. We do claim quite a few more things, but it's a four-week series, so I had to pick four things. That's pretty much how it worked. So we're going to be talking about creation, the resurrection, salvation, and the Bible, this series. And so today we're going to be focusing in on creation. And I want to start with asking, did you guys know that people like to create things? We like to create things. Cooks love making like amazing meals for people to gather around and fellowship with. And we have that with our Wednesday night dinners. They make incredible meals and they fellowship, and cooks love to create dishes like that. Engineers enjoy creating our urban environments for us to enjoy and drive around in. We all have some form of creativity inside of us. Even I, who am the least creative person in the world artistically, I have a creative side. I like to create systems and organizations, and I like everything in my life to function in squares and rows and columns. It sounds like I would enjoy Excel, but I don't. Actually, I probably would. I just don't know how to use it very well. But this is why I played Minecraft growing up. Like, Micah, you know what Minecraft is, right? Yeah. And Minecraft is creativity inside of squares. Like, that's all it is. Everything has to fit in a perfect, neat, organized square. It's also why I like Legos. Some of you might have noticed that there's Legos on stage. Me and my wife, we are Lego adults, also referred to in our culture as dinks. If you don't know what a dink is, it stands for dual income, no kids. So dual income, no kids, which means that we have to spend our money on something. So we buy Lego sets every now and then. We don't do a lot of them, but I like to build Legos, and I love The Office. In this past year for my birthday, my wife got me The Office Lego set. It is beautiful. It is not super fragile. I'll show it a little bit. See ya, bud. Don't worry, guys. It's just Daryl. And so Michael Scott's office comes out. It's great. If you're a fan of The Office, you need to come look at this. It is incredibly detailed and beautiful. There's so many references to the show in there. But I love building. I spent hours and hours and hours just sitting at my desk, one piece at a time, building that. Because we love to build. It's something that was built inside of us. Everyone likes to build. Everybody has a creative side. And if you think about it for yourself, you can find a creative side inside of you. But that brings us to a question of why do we have this creative side? Why do we have this desire to create? And where does it come from? Humans love creating. And it comes from, I think, a deeper fundamental question of where did we come from? Or more importantly, how were we created? How was the world created? And creation is a topic that's debated amongst Christians. It's a conversation in the secular world. It's between the two groups. It's in science. It's out of science. Creation's a massive topic. And in this series, we're going to be looking at these four claims. We're going to look at what the world says about it, and we're going to look at what Scripture has to say about it and kind of compare the two and figure out where we're going from there. And as we dive into the topic of creation, I want to preface this with two things. The first, Mom, this will be a surprise to you. I don't know everything. I do not know everything. So as we look at creation, know that I'm not a genius. And because of that, we're going to be pulling references from people much smarter than me. So I'm going to be talking through a couple different references and things. And the second disclaimer is I can't cover a ton of references because we only have a certain amount of time. So I'm going to do my best to pull a couple key references. And I did this in my sermon script. You can go and download it from our website. And it has those references in the back, like a high school paper. Thank you for AI for teaching me how to re-reference my papers. I no longer have to know how to do that because AI does it for you. But anyway, so there's references there if you are interested in going and checking those out. But the first question we're going to ask today is, was the world created? Was the world created? Because this is a common push in science right now, is to say that the world wasn't created. And there's a Christian apologist named Stephen C. Mayer, and his main work is in creationism. He looks at creation in our world. He looks at it in parallel universes and things like that to debate with all of the conversation going in those directions. Very interesting guy, very smart guy. But he harps on atheists when he talks to them because he says, all you guys do is ask for one miracle, and that's creation. And then you say science can take the rest from there. But to this day, he gets on to atheistic scientists about how they do not know why the earth was created, how the earth was created, or where it came from. They can't answer that question. And we get a more concise quote from William Lane Craig in his book On Guard. And he's talking about a defense for creation that a guy named Al Ghazali wrote. Here's what it says. It says, every being which begins has a cause for its beginning. Now the world is a being which begins. Therefore, it possesses a cause for its beginning. If something can come from nothing, then it becomes inexplicable why just anything and everything, or everything, doesn't come into being from nothing. So he's pretty much saying, why is it that only the universe can come into being from nothing? So Craig and Meyer, they both have extensive work in apologetics on creation. And like I said, one of the biggest fights right now is whether or not the earth was created. It's also one of the big pushes right now why they're saying that time is a construct, because they don't want the earth to have a beginning, so they want time to be a construct. And we're going to address that in a little bit. Unfortunately, the quick answer is science doesn't have a good answer for either of those things. They don't know why the earth was created, and they don't know how. So, you know, it's awesome to look into those guys, Meyer and William Lane Craig. They do great work on that. But scientists, they've disavowed the Big Bang Theory because it points to creationism. They can't explain where life comes from. They lean on what's called the Miller-Urey experiment. Which is two guys who tried to figure out where life came from through a lightning strike. And Miller, like the guy in the name, Miller-Urey, he himself corrected his experiment, and they still can't figure out where life came from on Earth. So without rambling on and on, secular science doesn't have a good answer for whether or not the Earth was created. Most theories point back to creation of some kind, which is where we step in and say, you know what, we believe that God created the Earth. So was the earth created? Yes, we believe it was by God. So the next logical question to ask then is, where did God come from? This is a creation question, but we ask it in so many different forms. Where did God come from? And I'm sorry to my wife and the Cove students volunteers, because they know that I love to answer this question. It's very fun. The short answer is we don't know, but the long answer is that God created three things. He created time, space, and matter. Therefore, he cannot be inside of time, space, or matter. And we can't use language outside of time, space, and matter. Therefore, we can't explain or answer the question, where did God come from? Because we don't have any conceptualization of where God is. None. Zero. Because he created time, space, matter. Therefore, we can't talk about where, when, how God came from. We don't know, we can't even use words to explain it. So was the earth created? Yes, by God. Where did God come from? We don't know. We don't know how to answer the question. And now we get to the part of the debate that, you know, Christians talk about amongst themselves. And it's, how old is the earth, right? Or a better form of that question is, how did God actually do it? How did God create the earth? 7 days? 7 billion days? How did God create the earth? In his book, Reason for God, Timothy Keller addresses some of these questions. We're going to end our message today with a quote from him, but before we get there, we have to address, my apologies, we have to address evolution, and more specifically naturalism, real quick. Evolution tries to explain where the world came from, and when we do that, evolution becomes a worldview. And evolution as a worldview is not actually a science, but a philosophy. And this is a very important distinction to make, because they leave the science world to try to describe how life started. Now, I'm not going to completely say evolution is bogus. I have opinions on it, but I'm not going to reveal those. The Catholic Church claims that evolution is compatible with Christian belief. But when we decide to turn evolution into an all-encompassing theory, that explains why we are the way that we are, we leave the science world and enter the philosophy world. And this is where it very quickly falls apart, because evolution has something called naturalism. And naturalism in its truest form justifies things like genocide, major injustices in the world, because they say that everything a human does is just chemical reactions in the brain. And we kind of see that a little bit with our criminal society now, that we explain some things by just saying, well, that's just how they are. That's just the reaction that they're having. But we know, most people know, that it's much more than that. We have morals. We know right from wrong. And so we know that naturalism in evolution in the form of creation theory, it's just not the answer. So we're in church. We should read scripture. And so we're going to turn to Genesis 1, because I think the Bible has quite a bit to say about how the earth was created, why the earth was created. And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 1. It's on page 1 of your Bible. This is the first book, first chapter. Here's what it says. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And if you grew up going to VBS, in your head you went, woo, because there was a song about it. "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Verses 1 and 2, God creates space. He creates the place in which things are going to exist. Verse 3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." In verses 3, 4, and 5, God creates time. So in verses 1 and 2, he creates space. 3, 4, 5, time. And this goes back to our question, was the earth created? Because time is not a construct. How we measure time kind of is, but years and days are not. And this is important, because our culture is really pushing to say that time is a construct, but we didn't make up time. God created it. The sun falls and rises every day at a very exact rate, and that measures a day. How we measure a day in 24-hour cycles is kind of a construct, but the day itself is not. And the earth goes around the sun at a very exact rate that has never wavered, and this measures a year. Now, how we divide those days into months and weeks, that's kind of a construct made by us, but the year itself is not. God created space, and then he created time. Genesis actually goes on to tell us how we measure time in verse 14 through 18. It says, "And God said, let there be lights in the vaults of the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. Let them be lights in the vaults of the sky to give light on earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness." He tells us how to measure time. And between what we just read and verse 5, God created matter. So verses 1 and 2, he creates space. 3, 4, 5, time. And now he's creating matter in verses 6 through 13. He makes our oceans. He makes the ground appear. He makes vegetation. And this is the world we talk about when we're talking about creation. Pre-life, God did it all. And he told us he did it all. Now, some say the earth is about 12,000 years old. The earliest I've heard is 6,000 years old. And some say it's millions or billions of years old. I know people in both camps. There's probably people in this room right now all over the spectrum on how old the earth is. But everyone claims that God did it all. Everyone in the Christian camp says God did it all, whether it was a seven-day creation, a 7-billion-year creation, whether the earth is 12,000 years old or billions and billions of years old, we still all say that God did it all. Some people think Genesis 1 is a poem in which time is being taken to create the earth as imagery. And some people say that it took 7 days, well, 6, because the seventh he rested, but, you know, 7 days to create the earth. Some argue that we have no idea how long the perfect Garden of Eden lasted. I know what I think, and I'm purposefully not revealing that, because the truth to focus on is that God created it all, and he created it for himself. God created time, space, matter, and after that, he created life. He created birds, animals, fish, us. And he singles us out, humans. And this is important because this is another distinction that science has kind of tried to break down. And it's that humans are not animals. Humans are not animals. We have more built into us than animals have built into us. Our 50s plus Bible study talked about this 2 weeks ago. The book we're studying, Core 52, has a great table in it that I did not put in my sermon, even though I told you guys I would in 50s plus. I'm sorry. That really separates what the differences between God, mankind, and animals are. We are not animals. You are created in God's image. Nothing else on this earth is. You were created special and set apart. Nothing else on this earth is. And in chapter 2, we learn that we were not just made special, but we were made to worship. We were made to honor. Mankind sat with God to rule over this creation, to rule over the earth, to this sphere that we stand on. God made us to rule over it with him. In the original creation, Adam and Eve walked with God. They were in relationship with him, and not the way we walk with God, like step for step. God was with them in the garden. They knew God, and they knew that all of creation was made to honor God. Now, sin might have ruined the plan in the Garden of Eden, and it might have changed how things were going, but there's something sin didn't ruin, and that was your purpose, our purpose as mankind. Just because sin entered the world doesn't mean that you aren't still created differently from the rest of God's creation, because we are. Mankind, you, us, we are still God's handiwork, and you are still made to worship and honor God. Because if God created the world, which we believe he did, it is one of the core claims of Christianity that we believe that God created the world, then he created you to be in relationship with him. That is your primary purpose, is to worship, to honor, and to be in relationship with God. And creation looks us in the eye and asks us if we're fulfilling that purpose. It says, you were created for this purpose. Are you living in relationship with God? Are we honoring God? And if you don't know what it means to be in a relationship with God, we would love to talk to you about that. I'm going to be sitting right down here in a couple minutes. You can come up front and talk to myself or Elliot. You can find someone with a name tag, their staff or elders, or you can email us at hello@swisscovechristian.com. But I want to summarize what being in relationship with God means. And we're going to pull three core spiritual disciplines. There's more than three, but three core. And the first is reading your Bible every day. The Bible is God's documented history over time. So knowing what our God did, how he relates to other humans, reading the Bible, talking to God in prayer, being in communication with him, and being a part of God's community, which is being in church, being in this room. Those are the three big ones. But honoring God means obeying the scriptures. It means praying for other believers and being inside his community. That's why I love that we do the Bible in a year plan. We're reading through the Bible in a year. Again, as a church, we've been doing it for like 5 years now. And we do it every single year, and we do it together. It's awesome. We pray. We have an incredible pastoral care team that prays for anything and everything that people bring to us. And we meet together every week in life groups, in church, and we live together in God's community. We were created to be in a relationship with God. We were created to honor God. So I want to close with a section of the book, The Reason for God, by Timothy Keller. Here's what it says. What can we conclude? Since Christian believers occupy different positions on both the meaning of Genesis 1 and on the nature of evolution, those who are considering Christianity as a whole should not allow themselves to be distracted by this intramural debate. The skeptical inquirer does not need to accept any one of these positions in order to embrace Christian faith. Rather, he or she should concentrate on and weigh the central claims of Christianity, that God is the creator of the earth. If God is the creator of the earth, then you were created to be in relationship with him. And that's why our mission, which you guys should know after Elliot's sermon series, but the first part of it, bring glory to God and make disciples of all the nations. Creation sitting here looking at us, going, hey, are you bringing glory to God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and everything you've done for us, Lord. We pray that as we look through the creation story, we can see your work through all of it, that we can notice what you've done and what you are doing, how you created. We might not have all the answers when it comes to creation, but we know the core answer of that you created it all, including us. And you created us to be in a relationship with you. Help us to love you. Help us to bring you glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen.